Happy Thanksgiving, folks, here from World Class Bullshitters. So it's Thursday, it's Thanksgiving, you're either in a food coma or you're about to be in said food coma, but there's one thing you're probably noticing. We're not live on YouTube. Why? Because we're busy with our families doing our own thing, but we didn't want to leave you hanging because for the last 150 weeks now, I guess, we have always brought you some sort of entertainment on a Thursday night, and tonight is no different. So we hope that you enjoy our Thanksgiving special of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We're going to do a commentary this afternoon, this evening, whenever you listen to it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. This is a really good, it's a great John Hughes movie. So I keep saying we, not me, I. Who is we? Well, first off, I'm joined with, or by, excuse me, the last standing Samoan, Nick Utam.
How's it going, everybody? I hope everybody has their turkey legs and mayonnaise going.
Are you jealous?
I mean, no, because I got my own going, so, you know.
Yeah, by the time the people hear this audio, he'll be 12 deep.
I was about to say, does it bother you that turkeys only have two legs?
It does. It does. Right now, I'm working on a way to irradiate turkeys to make them have 4 to 6 legs. So this way I can get more legs per turkey. So.
And okay. Fair enough. I get it.
Yeah, man.
you heard him in the background, folks. He's here, Kendo Slice.
Howdy.
And today we're joined by a guest. No, it's not Dion. It's our friend and patron, American Trent 007. Trent, say hello to the wonderful people out there on YouTube.
You're messing with the wrong guy. And happy Thanksgiving.
So this commentary is going to be fun because we're going to talk about John Hughes movies, Thanksgiving, but we're also going to talk about some of our memorable travel experiences because I can tell you some stories where I've been in similar situations like this. No, my rental car's never caught fire, and I've never had to trade my watch in for a hotel room, but I've missed airplanes because of Dion, so that was an adventure in itself that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Oh my god.
So, instead of making you fine people wait any longer, let's get our timestamps set to zero and press play right now. Okay.
Paramount.
It's paramount that we do this the right way. So, guys, on the scale of John Hughes, so one number one being like a Breakfast Club to something else, where do you rank this?
I guess about I would say for me this is about like probably a 5 or 4. Like it's really good. I do love it, but it's not like something I watch on repeat a lot, you know, from him.
Yeah, I'm not like anti-John Hughes, but I'm not like in love with John Hughes movies. I do like them, but yeah, this is one of those movies that it's fun to take out every now and then and give it a watch. It's good. Steve Martin, John Candy work really well together. It's a really nice story, but you know, maybe once a year, once every couple of years, it's the first time I've watched it probably in, I don't know, 4 or 5. So. It's a good movie, but yeah.
Trent,
I'll be honest. Among John Hughes, 3 or 4. I really do love this movie, mainly because of the dynamic of Martin and John Candy. It's great. It's for what it is. It's a comedy, but it's got a lot to say, a lot of good stuff to say. It's a great movie. It's obviously a Thanksgiving movie, but I do kind of lump it in with, you know, holiday movies. And I normally watch it about twice in November and maybe once in December, and that's about it. But I do watch it a couple times a year, but always around this time of year. Never, not like in July, put that way.
Well, for me, I would rank it. I'm looking at the list of his directed films because I'm not. Because if I put it for everything he's ever been associated with, that includes stuff like Christmas Vacation, Regular Vacation. This falls below those. But for the films he actually directed, I like 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Uncle Buck. I like those all more than I like this. So, whatever was that, 6, number 5 for me?
Yeah. Like
John Hughes directed films?
Yeah. Wait, hold on. What about Curly Sue? I mean, come on, man. Don't forget that movie.
What the hell is Curly Sue?
I don't know. It's on his list.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi?
Yeah.
I think so.
I remember this movie.
Yeah.
Was it a flop?
It probably was.
Probably.
It had a budget of $25 million, a box office of $33.7 million.
That's a flop.
Yeah.
It was the film debut of Steve Carell.
Oh, jeez.
Kelly Lynch is in it, I think.
Who?
Kelly Lynch, I believe, is in that movie.
Oh, yes, from Roadhouse, right, Kendo?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, isn't this the only time in the movie he's in this movie? It's just in the beginning?
Yeah. He's just a little asshole trying to catch a cab.
He's just getting off of Wall Street. That's what it is.
That's how I'd like to describe Kevin Bacon. A little asshole just getting off of Wall Street. So, since we're playing the ranking game, where do you guys rank this among Steve Martin? That black dude was just trying to dash. So, I like Steve Martin, but this is far from my favorite Steve Martin flick. This would probably be... It's below The Jerk, which I think is his best film. And it's definitely below Bowfinger. But it's still a good movie. It's funny, for the people out there that think we're dumping on this movie, we all enjoy it.
Oh, no. We really do enjoy it. We're just doing rankings and things that we always do. Like, you know,
it's, yeah, we're being
I'll be honest
about it.
I've only seen parts of The Jerk, and I think it's funny. I need to watch it all the way through. Bowfinger, which one's that again? Is that one with Michael Caine?
The one with Eddie Murphy?
Nah, it's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I've never seen Bowfinger.
About Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah.
I like this movie way less than I like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I love that fucking movie.
I've not seen most of the ones you're talking about. So for me personally, this is my favorite Steve Martin movie, but not because of him alone. So I'll have to watch the other ones.
I do love him in Sergeant Bilko, though. Like I watch it as a kid a lot, and I love that movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie as well.
Dan Aykroyd, Phil Hartman.
I was going to say, I like
Parenthood.
Yes.
It's one of those movies that's fun.
Parenthood's good.
Yeah.
There's Father of the Bride Part 2. That was not good.
No.
I'll be honest. When I'm pissed off or feeling like a dick or just mad about something, I'm kind of like this guy.
Oh, the lawyer?
Yeah.
I actually...
Close, I'm an attorney.
When we do these commentaries, I usually just watch the movie with you guys. I actually watched this movie the other day in preparation for this commentary because I want to up our game, you know?
Oh, definitely. Right?
I want to have a lot to say. That's why we're going to talk about some really bad travel experiences.
Whew.
So no, we're going
to watch
be...
this on Saturday to get ready, and yeah.
I think that's when I watched it, too. Saturday afternoon.
Jeez. Oh, man. That's going to suck.
I'll be in New York City in just a few short months.
Oh, yeah, for WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, just bought the tickets the other day.
Nice.
You're wrestling with the wrong guy. His running is like, I mean, come on. I think he could run better than that. I mean,
I've had that's his rushes. Gimmick run. He does that in a lot of his movies.
Wasn't he in a movie with Queen Latifah at some point?
Yeah, I actually liked that movie. Bringing Down the House.
Yep.
Thank you. Bringing Down the House. Okay.
Yeah. I saw that in theaters.
Yeah, so did I. Betty White's in that movie.
I think
she does a great
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He played a lawyer in that one, and he was really good. It was really fun.
This music is fucking terrible.
That's what I was going to say. I've read reviews of this movie from the time. People go, it's touching. Candy's electric. The chemistry's great. This is John Hughes' best written film. It might not be the funniest, but it's more serious, but still funny at the same time. But everyone panned the music. Like, it's so bad that...
I think that's a Home Alone house.
It is.
I thought Home Alone house had a garage on the one side.
It may have. I don't know. I'm just. I don't know.
It looks like the Uncle Buck house, to be honest.
It could be the Uncle Buck house. Hey, look at that.
Matthew Lawrence.
Yeah.
Hello. Have you ever seen Tales from the Dark Side, the movie?
Yes.
He's that little boy that Blondie's going to eat, Debbie Harry.
Yep. That's him. I love how those brothers were real popular in the 90s, and now they're just like off into obscurity. Nobody knows where they are now.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're worth millions of dollars.
God, I hope so.
Well, I'll look up their net worth in just a second.
Yeah.
Damn.
But one thing about the music in this movie, though, it's so unique to this movie, even though it's bad. When you like, if you're walking by a room and you hear dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, oh, shit, Plain Transmobiles is on. Like, you can identify
it. I don't think people are going to be able to recognize it.
Well, I do. I do. I do, because I've seen it so much. When I was a kid.
The Canadian Mounted?
This movie would be on repeat around this time up to and then from here to Christmas.
Oh,
so I am familiar. Just think of that music.
Oh, God.
So, Nick, how much do you miss John Candy right now?
So much, so much. I was devastated as a little kid when I learned that he died, because he was such a good actor, and I watched a lot of his movies when I was a kid, man. So I was just like, wow, that sucks. But it's all because of the curse of that one script. That's why.
Oh, the Eskimo film.
Yep. Yeah. The Eskimo film, it killed him.
By the way, Matthew Lawrence has a net worth of $4 million.
Jeez.
What about Joey?
Lawrence is worth.
I bet he's got more than Joey.
He probably has.
Joey. Ryan Bialik stole it. Oh, my God.
What? Is it bad or is it good?
It's terrible.
Oh, shit.
We are all worth more than Joey Lawrence.
Whoa. Holy shit. What?
Yes, even you, Trent, who just started working.
Do we need to do a telethon? Is he okay?
Joey Lawrence is an American actor, singer, and television host who has a net worth of negative $400,000.
Jeez. Oh. Calm down, Trent. Calm down, Trent.
Even with all my crushing debt, I'm still way ahead of Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, me too.
Wow,
God,
man.
Jeff, I was drinking a Pepsi when you said that. I just coughed F up. Oh my God,
wasn't it Diet Coke?
No, I finished the Diet Coke already. Oh, God, at least it wasn't the coffee.
Ugh. Hey, Nick.
Yeah, what's up, man?
You should send him a tweet. Be like, "Whoa, you're broke."
I'll do it for my personal Twitter. I'm not gonna do it from the WCBS Twitter. That's just too mean.
Nah. Joey Lawrence is worth this flight attendant. An actual channel Twitter war. He's not the Smash Mouth guy.
No. Because somebody once told me the world was going to roll me.
Yeah. We're not the sharpest tool
in
the shed.
And I'm certainly not the sharpest tool in the shed. Let's see here.
Nick was looking kind of dumb with his fingers in the shape of an L on his forehead.
Well, yep. that's because
I glued them there, okay, Kendo? Shut up.
Don't stop coming, and they don't stop coming, and they don't stop coming, and they don't.
Jeff, has anybody ever been in a situation like that where you've been in an airport and everything's just been canceled?
Yes.
Thankfully, I've not.
Kendo, you have?
Yeah, that's how I got stranded in Canada for a day.
Okay. I mean, that's not a bad place to be stranded.
No. YYZ is a great airport.
I once missed my flight. Now, here's Sharper a funny story for me. I once was on a plane with a dude that kept talking to me like this, but we became Facebook friends and PlayStation friends, and we still talk to this day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah, his name's Floyd. We were on our way to WrestleMania, and we just kept talking about wrestling. We were pumped. This girl in front of us was like, "Can you guys stop talking? I'm trying to sleep." I said, "It's 10 o'clock in the morning. You had your chance to sleep." And then I was not nice to her.
Yeah,
you weren't even...
Dude, when I flew back down to Florida, like back and down, whatever. One thing I kept forgetting is like I'm going to Florida, and there were like kids all over the fucking plane. They were crying, they were loud, there were all kinds of shit. I was like, man, I fucking hate this flight. Because when I went to New Orleans, there were no kids at all, nothing. Going to Florida, like every parent is trying to take their kid to Universal or Disney or something down there, and it was just like, oh man, I hate this flight right now so much.
You know, the older I get, the less I really want to have kids, because I'm just like, God, they are. But then I have to think about it for a minute. They're your kids, so you're responsible if they suck.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my thing. Is it's like if they're shitty kids, it's entirely your fault. So.
The kids run around the DMV screaming all the time. Yeah, I've seen those.
Oh my God, I fucking hate that shit. All right,
that man's in a ton of movies.
He is. He's Home Alone. He's the one the woman tries to sell the earrings to.
Yep.
The mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Doreen, she got big earrings, dangly ones.
She's got a shoebox of earrings, dangly ones. Yeah, that's what it is. Hey, Kendo, what should I say to Joey Lawrence?
Can I borrow $5?
Yeah. Or just be like, scrolling through some celebrity net worth. Whoa, Joey Lawrence is broke. Or send him something that said you could fucking play the game this way too. You could send Joey Lawrence a tweet and tag his brother and be like, "Whoa, your brother's got a lot more money than you. You should get a loan."
You know what? There. Okay, which brother are we talking about?
Matthew Lawrence.
Matthew. Okay, all right.
Johnny Let's Lawrence isn't actually his brother.
He's broke as shit, too.
I was talking about Johnny Lawrence is in Sweep the Leg.
Yeah, he's broke as shit, too, remember? In Cobra Kai, he doesn't have all that money.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about, like, the real Johnny Lawrence.
But Billy Zabka?
I was gonna,
no,
like,
no,
be like,
no.
He, I think no, he's dude. Doing quite well, actually.
Oh, yeah, dude, because they both, what is it, he's in that show now, and he's done the convention and stuff like that, so yeah, he's good to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Billy Zabka's fine. But yeah, Joey Lawrence's kayfabe brother, Johnny Lawrence, is an alcoholic.
Billy Zabka's worth $1.5 million, so yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, he's doing okay for himself. Goddamn one percenter.
So you are stuck in Wichita.
Hey, Bueller.
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 I still think of Win Ben Stein's money.
Yeah. I know, me too.
That was a fun show.
That failed show.
That was on for a few years.
Yeah, but it also had Jimmy Kimmel.
That's true. But see, that was good Jimmy Kimmel back in the old days. You know, before he...
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to agree with you, but yeah, there was such a thing as good Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Late 90s, early 2000s, Jimmy Kimmel was great, and then he got woke.
And it's funny, nowadays, like, I hated Joe Rogan back in the day.
Yeah,
now
same.
I enjoy him.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, when The Man Show, when Carolla and Kimmel left, and they brought it back, and it was, like, Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan. Hated it. But, like, now I'm like, man, Joe Rogan's actually kind of level-headed and smart and funny.
Yeah, way better than I gave him credit for.
Yeah. It's like, what happened? There was like a huge paradigm shift where Kimmel sucked and now Rogan's great. What happened? But still,
so
fuck Kendo, you, Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, I've never enjoyed him, but I don't dislike him as a person.
Oh, yeah, me either. Just taking a shot for funsies.
A question. So tell me the story about you being stuck in the Canadian airport. What happened? Was it just weather?
Yeah, so it was the first time I was going to England. This was 2010. And I was really pumped for it. It was something I'd been wanting to do forever. You know, I was a young Anglophile, and it was just like, man, I can't wait to go. Once I get a really good job, I'm going to take a trip to go to England. Well, I got a teaching job and was doing well. It was a well-paying gig in the county. And so I booked a trip to go to England for the first time. I was like, this is going to be fun. I'm going to go. I got a friend that lives in London. Her and her husband's got an apartment there. They said I can stay in it. So I pretty much don't have to pay for much of any hotels outside of when I go to Manchester to see see United play. It's going to be a good time. So all jazzed up, all geared up for this trip. I go to leave. I fly from St. Louis to Toronto. And apparently there was like a couple of inches of snow in London. And essentially whenever it snows in England, the country shuts down from what I understand. Because they don't have the capacity to handle more than a couple of inches of snow.
Are you sure
in
you weren't in Atlanta, Georgia?
Or that's true.
Yeah. Or St.
Oh, God,
Louis,
it's even less there. It snows like a tenth of an inch there, and everyone goes nuts.
So, yeah, so my plane, I left here at 10 in the morning, was supposed to land in Toronto at noon and be on a plane at 2, flying to Heathrow Airport to get there at, it's like 7, 8 in the morning, something like that. So I get off my plane, and as soon as I get off the plane in Toronto, I look over and at the board to see where my gate is for my next plane to Heathrow, and it's canceled. Shit. All right, so it's canceled. So I go to the ticket office for Air Canada, and I was like, hey, what's going on, you know, with the flight? It's canceled. I was like, am I getting bumped to a later flight? And the lady's like, we're not exactly sure when the next flight's going to go. Because Heathrow's having issues. She goes, they've had 5 centimeters of snow. And in my head, I'm like, that's 2 inches. That's not a whole lot. She goes, but in England, it is. We have more snow plows at this airport than they have in the entire country. I'm like, that's fair. It's just Canada. So essentially, they put me on standby for a flight that was guaranteed to leave at 6:30, 7 o'clock. So I'm on standby. I was standby number 5. They got to 4. So I go to Air Canada's desk thing, and I'm like, all right, so I didn't make it. And they're like, she's like, okay, well, there might be a plane leaving tomorrow at, you know, whatever time o'clock, blah, 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 blah. Essentially, they told me that I was going to go to the airport. They were going to put me at the airport hotel thing for free and I'm going to be able to possibly leave the next day. She goes, but if they can't get you out tomorrow, you're not going to be able to leave till the 28th. This is like the 21st. And I was like, jeez. Or the 20th. I'm like, shit, that just kind of wrecks everything because I've got tickets for the match on the 26th. I'm supposed to be going to the game on the 28th. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. I'm literally going to be there for 3 days and have to come home. So I go to the hotel. I'm hanging out. I'm not feeling the best. So I drink some NyQuil, watch Red Green, fall asleep, wake up in the middle of the night with the fever dreams, as I like to call them, hallucinations and stuff. It's great. And then I get up in the morning. I go to the airport trying to find out what's going on. The lady's like, well, we can send you back to St. Louis. I'm like, it's actually St. Louis, but I'll let it slide because you got Hortons. And so I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, trying to figure out. And she goes, actually, we have a flight that just opened up at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is like 12:30. She goes, can you be on that plane? I'm like, yes. So I get the ticket, run over to the ATM, pull out like $40 Canadian, walk out on the sidewalk, just stick the money out. And like three taxis come swerving towards me all of a sudden real quick. I handed the guy the $40, was like, if you can get me a mile down the road to the airport hotel and back in, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I will give you all $40. So I overpaid the shit out of a cab ride. And then I got there, and so like all these people are celebrating because there was a lot of people on that plane that were just trying to fucking go home. I was interviewed by the CBC about the delays and everything, so I became an international mischief maker. So we get on the plane, and we're sitting there waiting to get the green light. We get the green light. So as soon as the thing starts taxiing, people are starting to get, you know, they're starting to get be a buzz in the plane. And then as soon as, you know, the thing is airborne, like people are cheering. It's like a party atmosphere because you got all these British people that are going to get home for Christmas when they were told they weren't going to. You got me, who's just excited to go to England for the first time. And I'm sitting next to this like really cool dude who is actually trying to go home from Missoula, Montana, because he was going to the University of Montana. So for the next 8 hours, we pretty much just sat there talking about the Premier League, rugby, and getting smashed on Heineken's, because this was back when you could actually get a whole can of beer for free on the plane, and they'd just keep feeding them to you. And
2010. Oh, yeah. God. So a better time.
So between the cold medicine and smashing cans of Heineken and watching whatever movie was on the plane, not really, but talking to this really cool dude whose name I can't remember, but I felt bad for him because as soon as he got off the plane at Heathrow, he had like 6 hours of train and coach travel to get to Norwich, which isn't really far from England or from London, but I guess in England it takes a long time to get around when you have to do a lot of hopping and stuff. I don't know. I was always on the Virgin trains that got to and from Manchester in like an hour and a half. And so, oh, nice. Yeah. Landed, cleared customs, and the most all I had to go on to get to my friend's place was what stop on the tube they were on. But because I'd been to Chicago and I understood the color-coded subway maps, I was able to go here, boom, boom, done. 3 hours later, I traveled all the way across London on the tubes, and I was sitting in their flat. I was tired as shit. I was exhausted. I still had the remnants of a cold, but I made it. And I smashed the hell out of some Hortons while I was stranded in Toronto. I pretty much ate 5 meals of Hortons. There's worse ways to go through life.
Very true.
Yeah, man. It's not bad.
And that was the first time I got chlamydia.
That was a much more elaborate story.
That's a joke. That's a Super Troopers joke, except for they say
Christ. Oh, God. Oh, I know. Well, also, I wanted to mention something like in the movie that happened a little bit ago was the bathroom scene. That looks like when we get together and like we have one bathroom between all of us.
Oh, my so God. I know.
Yeah, it's just like disgusting, and it's like, disgusting for like a week.
Dude, New Orleans was even worse, I think, because there was more of us.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, Dan was there.
It's true.
Well, I mean, you know, he never touched the bathroom except to like pee or poop, so you know that was about it.
Dude, he showered.
Well, it seemed like that man smelled like he was always going. So I don't know.
I'll tell some of my travel stories. I got stuck at an airport because I rented a car, and it took them forever to process it. By the time I got to the airport, they just closed the door on me. Said, "Sorry, we gave your ticket to someone else. You can't get on the flight." And I was stuck in Florida for 12 hours, and I had a big test the next day in college, and I would have failed the class. So you talk about doing stupid stuff, overpaying for a taxi. I eventually got a flight from Orlando to Detroit, and then I took a taxi from Detroit to Lansing, and it was like $200 fucking dollars.
Damn.
I know, right? And I'll never, ever do that shit again. The next year I went to WrestleMania, I flew down on Sunday. I flew home on Monday. Like, I slept in the airport. I was so not going to deal with that crap ever again.
Ooh.
I was like, I don't want to get screwed over. It was terrible last year.
Damn,
yeah,
dude.
I don't blame you, man. Getting stuck in the airport suck. I mean, yeah, I overpaid for the taxi, too, but mine was more of a I need one as immediately and one that's going to fucking ignore all road signs. So I figured, paying, $40 for a $5 cab ride would do that, and it did. But, yeah, one time I was coming back from England, and my plane was delayed leaving Birmingham by, like, an hour. And so my connection flight, I had literally just missed it, just like you. They had just closed the door. So I was stuck in Newark, New Jersey. I didn't get on a plane again until 10 o'clock that night. But luckily, I hit the Earl of Sandwich.
I like that place.
That made me feel slightly better.
That is one good thing about going through big airports is, like, the restaurants and the food is always pretty fucking good. Yeah,
so I spent like $20 at an Earl of Sandwich to get a couple of sandwiches that tied me over, and then I had to go to a different terminal to get the plane to St. Louis, and they had a bar there that was serving Yingling on tap, and so I was like, oh, I finally get to try Yingling, and I spent probably about $80 on, seven pints of Yingling they were the big glass. They were the 24 ounces, the 2x4s. Ooh. And so I just got fucking roasted on Yingling and sat at my gate waiting for them to fix the plane. And then they ended up just substituting us a new plane. And I got home.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, you're getting roasted, and so is Dell right now. Man, Neil, you're a dick.
He is. I'm surprised. Normally this kind of scene would be towards the end of a movie after one person's so tolerant of their other crap until they freak out.
Yeah. And
this movie just ends it quick.
Yeah. And like, and this isn't the first third of the movie. It's very weird. But, hey.
So us towards Brian Lathan.
Think about it. He does.
We're 25 minutes
he
in.
He does come off as an asshole even at the beginning of the movie. I mean, he just has that look about him, the way he acts.
Even in the end, I really don't have much sympathy for Steve Martin's character. I don't care if he makes it home for Thanksgiving, really.
But I think it was strategically done this way, so you could see how he's a total asshole, but he grows into, a nicer person, at least to an extent, throughout the course of the movie, hanging out with John Candy.
His heart becomes three times its size.
Yeah, he's the Grunch.
His dick shoes were on
the crotch. No, when I watched this movie, something dawned on me on Saturday. So, obviously, Dell did at one point, maybe he still kind of does like a traveling, like almost like an Avon salesman of shower curtain rings. He was a salesman back in his day, traveling around selling stuff. He had a wife who he obviously was on the road and away from. She gets sick. She dies.
Spoilers!
God, come on. Okay, so he obviously has to feel bad all that time he spent on the road away from her when she was healthy, and then she gets sick and dies, and he missed all that time. So Steve Martin, his character, he's going to New York and probably to L.A. and probably to maybe Europe, or who knows where he's going all over the place, right? He's got young kids growing up. He's missing recitals. He's missing out on time with his wife. And what Dell's saying is, he learns from him, you never know when that could be gone, and you'll never get that time back. So stop being a dick and, spend time at home. Don't go away from your family all the time. He saves Neil from becoming a version of himself if he, had losses.
That's right. Yeah.
So he kind of saves his soul.
Yeah. You don't know what you got until it's gone. Today's paradise, put up a parking lot.
I hate you.
Oh, man.
What was I going to say about this movie? The biggest problem I have is when they go to dinner after he sells all the shower curtain rings, and then he's like, well, we should go our own separate ways. I feel like that was an unnecessary thing. It's like, they've already become these good friends. Let's just continue this. Is that David Spade?
No, that's one of the kids from Summer School. That's either Dave or Chainsaw.
He's one of the boys of Summer School?
So,
how about that?
Jeez. Yeah, Kendra, you should be getting your stuff soon as well. I sent out your stuff, too.
Amazon Thought Box.
Oh, man.
Nick, have you watched it yet?
Yeah, I've watched it a couple times, but I got my own copy.
All right, we'll have to put out a review for it.
That's fine.
Show that studio some love.
There you go.
Does Dale Jepsen appear in that movie?
I don't believe he does.
I don't think so.
Dana McKay does.
Yeah, that's not a selling point to me.
Oh, guys, by the way, guess who, like, after 2 weeks of having a friend request sent to her, accepted it, like, 2 days ago?
Who? Really?
You actually sent her one?
Yeah, remember? On the Halloween stream.
Oh, you did. You did. Oh, God.
So, people seem to love this scene right here. Those aren't pillows. Ah!
That's funny.
The worst part, though, is people would take offense with this joke.
Well, yeah. Nowadays, people would, because if you remember, there was, like, some controversy about Ace Ventura from a few years ago. Where the scene where he realizes Finkel is Einhorn is Finkel, and he goes in the bathroom, and he's like brushing his teeth and burning his clothes
part.
And all that stuff.
Oh yeah, dude,
that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, people have come out since since everything's gotten woke and everything like that, and talk about how it's homophobic and all this other stuff. It's like, no, it's a joke. Calm down.
Exactly, it will be okay.
Yeah, you know. It's not homophobic. He just doesn't want to kiss a dude. Just like, I don't want to eat head cheese. I would be equally grossed out by the fact. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to put that under roos. Oh. He's a jockey man.
God, hopefully they're clean.
Yeah, see, there's the garage on the left side of the house.
Jeez.
I've shared hotel rooms with strangers. I shared a room with Nick one time when we were still technically strangers.
That's true.
That doesn't count.
And once the night was over, you two had never been more familiar with each other.
No, the best was him and Dion, or he and Dion, fucking jacuzzi naked.
Hey, they're comfortable coozing. They were on their own side
yeah.
of the coon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was no weird, like, it's not like we were sitting next to each other, like, we were, like, hips touching hips and everything on the same side, being like, hey, man, what's going on? Yeah. It was like we were literally on opposite ends of the coos, just having beers, hanging out, talking about shit. It was great. And if anybody ever tries to play the racist card on me, I'll just be like, Nick, to the archives.
To the archives. Oh, jeez.
All right, so I looked into it. The Home Alone house is a different house. It's much bigger. Okay. And the Uncle Buck house is also different, so that's a different home.
Awesome. I will be able to sleep tonight.
Yeah, I want to make sure you're taking care of there, Kendall.
Oh, that was really going to mess with me all day.
Sure it was.
Like, damn it, was that the same house? How will I sleep? It's 3 in the morning. I have to work. Yeah,
I like the stuffed the taxidermied animal behind him.
That cougar or whatever that mountain
it's bobcat.
Cat?
Bobcat, yeah.
I don't know my cats.
There's also a fox behind the lady's head.
I'm an expert on all things pussy, so I know my cats really well.
I knew that was gonna come. I knew it was coming.
It had to be done. It had to be done. So I was like, all right.
No, it did. No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's like, you got a 4-ball scramble on the golf course. It's like, you're going to take the shot? You want to tee off? I'll do it. I'll take that shot.
Pacific Northwest, jeez.
Man, John Candy's muffs. Look at those.
Look at that hotel, man. Holy shit.
I do love when the, when the, was it Gus or whatever comes and picks him up, that guy. Oh, this guy.
I was gonna say, I've stayed in dive ass hotels like that.
Yeah, same.
He's going to beat him like, to death with a snow shovel.
Got it.
You know who this is, don't you?
Hold on. I will in a second. Let me see the face.
Oh, wait.
Oh, shit.
It's the lizard from Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, shit.
Wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Dylan Baker, that's him. Yeah. Oh, wait.
Raimi one.
No, it's not.
From that shit. Yeah, it is. That's Dylan Baker.
It's, from the live-action movie?
Yeah, the Raimi ones. He's his teacher.
Let me check.
Jeff knows his lizard people.
Yeah, I do. I'm surrounded by them.
Oh, God.
Goonie bastard.
Oh, no, you're right. My bad. He was in Spider-Man 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Don't fuck with the Jedi Master, son.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of...
Reese Ifans or yeah. whatever from the shit one. I was like, oh, wait, crap. There was a guy that actually played the lizard.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking of him. I was just like, oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I would just like to point out how disrespectful it is of Nick to question Jeff on Spider-Man knowledge. I can't believe you would do such a thing, Nick.
Thank you, Kendo.
Unfucking believable.
She's a trooper.
Our friendships have been tested, and not for the good.
Well, Doomcock, if you need a new podcast to get on, I guess I'm going to replace you real soon, so, you know, it's fine.
Well, a couple weeks ago, when he was on, people were clamoring for him to replace Dion.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I mean,
give him the goddamn glove.
It was a good idea, so.
Yeah, at minus 10 degrees, screw that.
That truck reminds me of a truck my dad had when I was a kid. It was a Chevy truck just like that, except for it wasn't. I mean, it was in good shape, but it was orange.
Fascinating.
He's got you there, Nick. Yeah.
Well, at least I don't question Jeff on Spider-Man.
That's true.
He does.
Nick, you Tim, you done fucked up now.
Yeah. We need to comment over that movie, goddammit.
Wait till February.
Is that fucking you, Tam, I hear?
That's a good reference. Here's the thing, though. If I was stuck in this situation, I would just drink with John Candy the whole train ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My trip.
Dude, getting drunk on a train is fun as shit. I know, I've done it. When I was going to school at Grand Valley State, so I had driven between Michigan and St. Louis in general, probably about 15, 16 times at that point. It sucks. You see way too much of more of Illinois than anybody should ever have to, unless, you know, they're being sentenced to a crime. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go home for, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas, one of the holidays. And I decided to go by train. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be cost me the exact same as it would cost me to drive, but I don't have to drive. Well, the problem is driving from Grand Rapids to St. Louis is like 6.5-7 hours. The train ride from Grand Rapids to Chicago was 3.5 on its own. So that tells you everything you're in for at that point. So I spent 10 hours traveling on train as opposed to 7 hours in a car. Was it worth it? Yeah, maybe. So anyway, you can from Grand Rapids to Chicago. Well, then in Chicago, I got there and it was like a Tuesday. So they had like pitcher specials, like $5 pitcher specials at one of the bars. And so I proceeded to drink one and a half, almost two of those while I was waiting, you know, 3 hours for my next train. And so then I took the train from Chicago to St. Louis, and I spent most of the time in like the bar car area, and got here. My buddy Brandon picked me up from the train station, and I don't really remember most of the rest of that. And then
jeez.
One time I was going from St. Louis to Kansas City to go to – my buddy Kaufman was picking me up because we were going to the Chiefs-Rams game the next day. Go Chiefs. And I sat down on the train, bought two cans of soda, took out my little pint bottle of Wild Turkey, spiked those sodas. It was a good train ride. It was like a it was like a 4 hour train ride. Oh yeah.
Wait, hold on. What was that, like 101 Wild Turkey, or was it
Of course.
Oh shit.
Because I'm like, I need to substance up as hard as I can for this train ride, and so it was the quickest couple of hours, especially since it was like during a time like when the World Series was going on and the Royals were in the World Series, I believe. So there was a lot of people going home to Kansas City on that train, and so there was like little TVs and, you know, pocket like phones, pocket TV things, and radios going. So got drunk with some Kansas Citians, and it was a good time. I don't really have any travel horror stories because I usually make travel fun.
Unless I have one.
It sounds like it, man.
Unless I'm driving by myself to New Orleans in the middle of the night, that's not as fun.
We almost die.
Yeah, when you're pretty sure you fell asleep at the wheel for a good couple of seconds. Yeah, right outside of Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, man.
Mississippi Power.
That's what got me through. It's got two of them.
Two of them. It looks like they're humping.
And they're climbing in and out of that hole in that box, probably.
They're doing something.
Fun fact, Trans-Missouri, as far as I know, is not an actual bus line.
Okay.
Sure.
But Hank Williams Jr. back there is making a cameo, it looks like.
So
No. That is in fact Dale Jepsen. That is Dale Jepsen.
That is Dale Jepsen.
The Nighthawks are on the other bus.
Well, I was on my way to Gatlinburg in 2001, and our car broke down, our van. So we got stuck on the side of the road in Kentucky, and my cousin and I had to walk down an exit ramp to this, like, most hillbilly, as you can imagine, gas station. But that's really not the horror story. The best part is that as we were crossing, like, over the thing, there were, like, loose farm animals that started following us. So we had to run across the street so we wouldn't get attacked by chickens and something else.
Oh god. Let's see. I remember traveling to a foreign country and I got stuck in the airport. That was fun. Oh man.
Yeah, I guess the worst trip was still my WrestleMania trip. That was fucking terrible. I know, oh, I god. Talked about it, but my god, like, what was that, 10 years ago almost? I'm still pissed off.
Yeah, that was a trip I took with my good friend. We went to Spooky Empire, like, I think 15 years ago or something, not 15 years ago, at least 10 years ago, maybe like 12 years ago. And we were coming back. I was leaving from Nashville because the tickets were cheaper, you know, to do it that way. And we were coming back to Nashville, and we were on the plane for 2 hours on the tarmac. Didn't move. There was some technical bullshit. This is a Delta flight. They constantly keep telling us, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to leave soon. We're going to leave soon. We're going to leave soon. No. It's been like 3 hours. I've fallen asleep on this plane, and I was asleep at least like two out of those 3 hours. And eventually they're like, all right, everybody deplane, and, you know, we're going to give you vouchers for, oh, no. They said, oh, yeah, the next plane is, you know, at this terminal, go there. And you go there, and, like, the door is closed. And then they're like, all right, well, you missed your flight. Here's a voucher for the hotel, and here's a voucher for food. You know, and that was it. We went to the shitty hotel, the airport hotel, got a discounted meal from them, and slept in this really crappy bed. It was horrible. And then we had to get up like I think 4 hours later to get up and get back to the airport, go through security again, and try to get home. which I got back to Nashville, which is where my friend lives, Brad, and then I had to drive another 4 hours to Gatlinburg. So, hooray.
This kid cannot act. I almost feel like Steve Martin's family are inconsequential to this film. I mean, I know
they are. They really are.
Now, this is the one scene I feel like they should have been over their hump, but they're not.
The worst is whenever you get stuck on the plane at your final, you know, destination, and you can't get off the plane. One time I was coming back home, and we landed, but because there was a thunderstorm going on and they can't let the ground crew go out during storms, I was literally stuck there at the gate in St. Louis waiting to get off the plane for about 2.5 hours.
Oh my God.
It's like, God damn it. I've been up since what would be like 2 a.m. my time here in Central Time Zone. Flew 6.5 hours across the ocean, sat in Jersey for 1.5 hours. Flew 1.5 hours to get home, and now I'm stuck here for God knows how long until the lightning stops for long enough for them to release the ground crews. And so I sat there, like I said, at the gate waiting for them to release it to where they could roll the jet. Because they'll pull up right to where you're supposed to park, but you're stuck on the plane. I mean, the air crew is pretty cool. Like, they'll let you get up and walk around and go to the bathroom. They don't enforce, like, stay in your seats. Because they're like, they don't want to be stuck on the damn thing any much more than you do. But it's like, God damn it. I'm finally home, but now I'm not home. I have to sit here
for
2 hours, maybe longer. And, yeah, so for two and a half hours,
I remember,
I sat there on the back of the little jungle jumper waiting to get off the damn thing.
Shit, man. I remember I got off the plane. I was literally off the plane, you know, still on that little tube or whatever. And I was just like, oh shit, I forgot my something. I wanted to get back on the plane. The lady's like, oh, you can't get back on the plane. I was like, what? You saw me like walk 3 feet and turn around. She's like, no, it's against FAA regulations. Like, you literally just saw me walk 3 feet and turn around and come back and wanted to get the thing that I forgot in my seat. She's like, what seat were you at? Where is it? And I was like, oh, it's it's my hoodie. Just, you know, it's there in, you know, 33A or whatever. And I was just like, really, I can't go back and get it because of this rule? Like, you saw me. I was within sight. Like, I didn't, like, get off, I didn't, like, leave this thing and come all the way back down. And I was like, oh, yep, I lost my hoodie. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Actually, Nick, you want me to tell you a story that'll make you very upset? I have walked off the plane before like that and started walking up the ramp and turned around and had to go back because I forgot my jacket and they let me back on the plane to get it.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. So that tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, I walked off and, you know, smiled, said bye to the lady, you know, and then, you know, took about 10, 15 steps. Like, oh, shit, I forgot my jacket because I was like, I know I'm missing something. Oh, yeah, I forgot my fucking coat. I was using it as a blanket and I pushed it off to the side and I went over or back up to her and I was like, hey, I was just on the plane. She goes, oh, yeah, I remember you, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I left my jacket. She goes, oh, yeah, sure, go get it. She kind of like watched me go down and grab it, but. Yeah, they let me back on. So,
well, this is also like, I think like 2005, 2006. So yeah.
Oh yeah, mine was in like 2012.
No, not at all.
I don't know where
we're about halfway through this movie right now.
They probably filmed it somewhere in Missouri because those are Missouri plates. Old style. So either they got a bunch of those for the set or, well, that actually looks like Lambert.
Yeah, this is why I'm real happy like Uber and Lyft exist.
Yeah.
Just go to your rideshare area and then, like, you know, call up your car and just go. Just go.
Yeah, and they Uber you away.
Yep. Steve Martin's really good at like physical comedy. He's really good at that.
Can you believe,
shit!
Can you believe Steve Martin's King Tut video is now considered racist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I was just like, oh, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
King Tut.
Yeah,
that was a...
It's called comedy. Apparently, that is, you know, not something that we can do anymore.
Nope.
Oh, this lady. Oh my God.
Edie McClurg. She's a lesbian.
Is she really?
Yeah, huh. She's a lesbian.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, let's be honest.
There's your fun fact for today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you know,
folks.
Whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat, man.
Dude, she's amazing in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Grace! I laugh every time. He's a righteous dude.
She's also an Airborne.
I love this lady. She's hilarious.
I do.
Makes more sense now, doesn't it?
Adds she a was new really layer. Like Jennifer Lopez.
Damn, dude. Don't be like that.
This might be the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah.
Damn.
Right fucking now. Well, then you're fucked.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, but at some point if this happened to me, I would just give up and be like, fuck it, I'm going back. I don't care. I'm just going to go back.
Have you seen there's a graph that popped up on Facebook the other day that shows the trip they took and how far they overshot and all this other shit.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, too.
Oh, God, I didn't see that, no.
There's one little, like, green line that's, you know, they're supposed, exactly. What they were supposed to travel. And then there's like these other like colored lines that go all the way out and around and everything. And it's different colors for different modes of transportation.
Ah, damn.
Who's Steve Martin? I'd love to have Steve Martin on this show.
He's really
I got rhythm.
That.
You mean I'm going to stay this color? You got to see the jerk. The first line. I was born a poor black child.
Yeah.
He thinks he's black, but he's just going to turn.
That's another thing I hate about airports now is like the constant cops there who are just like, all right, unload and get the hell out. It's like, really?
It's because terrorists.
Calm down. Calm down.
I don't like really. I'm just not a fan of flying. I'm not afraid of flying, but
oh,
I don't
God.
Like the people at the airport, and I don't like the fuck. Hey, it's the family truckster. It's a metallic
yeah,
key.
Part of it.
Chrysler. Yeah, that's like a Chrysler body right there.
Yeah, it is.
The Wagon Queen Family Truckster. If you think you hate it now, wait till you drive it.
Oh, God.
This is your automobile. Metallic P, this isn't even the same model. I ordered the Sport Wagon with the wheelie optional off-road wheelie fun pack. That first. Where's Mr. Griswold's car? I don't know, sir. He doesn't know. Now that is a funny fucking movie. See, I think this is more situational funny. But I think Vacation just has much more overt, hilarious ha-ha moments.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
that part makes me laugh, too. I've said this to you guys before. If I was Clark, I wouldn't be lusting after Christy Brinkley, because I thought Beverly D'Angelo was damn hot in that movie. So
yes, she was. Yes, she was.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
While she was an attractive woman, I would lust after Christy Brinkley.
I know her and what's his name? Chuck Norris like sold exercise equipment on late night TV a lot.
They sure did. Yeah.
Yep. It's I don't know if it was the Bowflex, it was something though.
Bowfinger. I love his bow tie. Yeah. I think I'm trying to decide what my favorite John Candy performance is. It might be Uncle Buck, but it also might be The Great Outdoors.
All right, Great Outdoors is pretty damn good, dude.
You too. That's another movie that has terrible music. The Great Outdoors?
Oh yeah, it does.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah, he produced it. He didn't direct. I think that's Howard Deutsch that directed it. Well, here, let me look at some of the shit that he's involved with. I'm just gonna read these. Yeah, I'm just gonna. Okay, so film. We're not worried about television. National Lampoon's Class Reunion, Mr. Mom, National Lampoon's Vacation, Nathan Hayes, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, European Vacation, Weird Science, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Some Kind of Wonderful, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, She's Having a Baby, The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, Career Opportunities, I love that movie, Only the Lonely, another good John Candy film, Dutch, ugh, Curly Sue, Beethoven, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Dennis the Menace, Beethoven 2nd, Baby's Day Out, Miracle on 34th Street, Mallrats, 101 Dalmatians, Flubber, Home Alone 3, Reach the Rock, Beethoven's Third, Just Visiting, Newport South, Made in Manhattan, wow, okay, and Home Alone 4, and Drillbit Taylor. His last film is Drillbit Taylor. Yeah, he wrote that.
Oh, wow. Apparently, John Candy was in a horror movie called The Clown Murders.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
What's around?
Hold on. You still have XM radio? What the hell, dude? Spotify's a thing. I'm just letting you know.
I hate Spotify. Trent, don't feel embarrassed. Every time I rent a car for a long distance drive, I'll pay the $8 a day for Sirius XM satellite radio. Because I love the not knowing what's going to be next. Yeah, Nick, you would love Sirius Satellite Radio in the car, or else you're going to listen to Axel F. for like 27 hours straight. Now, Nick, this is the part where they storm Victor Maitland's mansion. This is the part where Axel Foley crosses the street to put the banana in the tailpipe.
You can actually hear the
banana going in the tailpipe.
You make that sound like a bad thing. Like I'm used to it. I'm used to it now. Like I don't care. It's fine with me. Like you make it you really do make it sound like it's a bad thing. It's like I'm fine with it. It's good.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. I don't listen to James Bond music anymore.
We'll see. Here's the thing. If I'm in a car with Jeff and these guys, I don't give a shit what's playing. We're going to have a good time anyways, okay? I don't
care. That's true. We just kind of yell and scream at each other the whole time.
Yeah, really. Like, it could be... Yeah, fine. No big deal. Yeah. Don't give a shit. Do not give a shit. We're going to be talking about, like...
Our hands will go up in the air.
The butterflies will fly away.
That's right. Yep.
I don't know all the words. I just knew the butterfly fly away part.
Jeez, Trent, what the hell, dude? What the hell?
They must play that on Sirius satellite radio a lot.
Yeah, there you go. This would terrify me to no end. I would probably hit the brake like real hard, just so I know this car can just stop.
Well, I tell you, I always take off my coat whenever I drive my car. Like, if I'm going to be in it for a long time, I'd rather have the car warm and take off my coat and be cold for just a couple of
hours. Oh, yeah, definitely.
God, this music is just trash.
It is, man.
Did they even fucking... You know what we should do? We should get a copy of this without the music, and I'll rescore it myself.
If that's possible, that'd be awesome.
We'd rescore it with Tangerine Dream or something weird.
I'm okay with that. No. Put Fortunate Son right there. There you go.
Yeah.
Fucking CCR?
Yeah, why not?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with CCR.
There's nothing right with CCR either.
Well, that's incorrect, sir.
This looks like the shot from Batman when it comes over the thing, the hill. That's what I would put here. Dun, dun. I have to watch out. YouTube's detection process is getting really good. So.
God. Well, it's all because of that EU deal. Article 13 or whatever.
I blame Logan Paul.
That sounds right. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Boom. Okay. So, good morning. Pop culture has been uploaded.
Woo!
The sign on the back of the car says Critters of Hollywood! You dumb fuck! Yeah, how does he know we were going? Where we're going?
How is it?
Now this music sounds like it was ripped off directly from Back to the Future.
It probably was, because this is 87.
Yeah.
Oh god, I think it is.
Before that part, when it was like he was doing the drinking thing, it looked like Back to the Future, or sounded like Back to the Future. I love this part right here.
When he Holy comes to the devil. Shit. Oh. Damn, that's one sturdy ass trunk.
Well, they made them better back then. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. They sure don't, Clark. Sorry, I missed that whole thing. No, it doesn't.
Not anymore.
This, you know what? Tommy Boy ripped off this movie quite heavily.
Oh, it did. Oh, my God.
Okay, guys, rank your favorite road trip movies, or at least name a couple road trip movies you enjoy. I mean, for me, road it's trip. Obviously it's Vacation's number one. Road Trip is your favorite?
No. I'm just naming them. Road Trip is one of them.
Austin, Massachusetts? You mean Boston? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. It does. I used to love Tom Green. Yeah. That counts.
Which is a ripoff of It's a Mad World.
Yeah.
Yeah, but John Lovitz says the Nazi is fucking hilarious.
Oh my god, dude. That... Yeah, I rented that movie. I got home from work, I rented that movie, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I started watching. I'm sitting downstairs in the living room watching that movie. It got a kind of quiet, you know, chuckling here and there, but the John Lovitz part where he gets out of the car at the end and he's like fucking gesturing and yelling stuff in front of the Nazi rally and all this stuff, I was laughing so hard I woke everybody in the house up. I was like, God, that is good. That was the best part of the movie.
Well, no,
I got a movie on DVD.
I got a retro.
Yeah, oh Klaus God. Barbie, The Butcher of Lyon.
Well, Eurotrip is a road trip movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's one of my top five
favorites.
Did you
see that meme the other day that says, today's kids will never know what Scotty didn't know?
Yeah, yeah. I saw that.
I just saw it's that. It's hard to believe. That's true.
It's hard to believe that movie's almost 15 years old.
That Fiona and Matt Damon were fucking.
Let's see. There was one time I was driving through Knoxville and there was a guy's BMW that was on fire like this.
Did you laugh because you thought, "Hey, you're privileged, fuck you," or were you genuinely concerned?
I was genuinely concerned because it's a flaming car on the side of the road, and I was just like, "Was there still gasoline?" And no, he was outside. He was like 20 feet away.
And he was
just calling somebody. He was really, it seemed like he was like really okay with it. He's like, man, not again. He had that kind of look on his face. I was just like, oh, okay.
It's just another Wednesday.
The damn Bavarian Motor Works.
Yeah. Also, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle is a good one, too.
Yeah, would that be a road trip movie?
Yeah, they're going to go to White Castle. That's true.
Yeah,
Dumb and Dumber's
number two.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber. Also, Zombieland.
That's a true one. Yeah, Dumb and Dumber. Oh, man. Do I like Dumb and Dumber more than Vacation?
No.
I would.
Dumb and Dumber was the first movie I watched. Yeah, but Dumb and Dumber was the first movie I watched more than five times. I used to watch
Tommy Boy,
and
there's RV with Robin Williams.
No. Remember, Jeff.
Hey, I want it.
Dumb and Dumber, while great, no one gets punched, or no one punches a moose in that one, though.
Yeah, but Jim Carrey. It's okay, I'm a limo driver.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that it's not a great movie, but a moose gets punched in the face.
I am so glad that you're recording your own audio, because you are beep-booping the shit out of it on my end.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the MP3 recording? Oh, shit.
Does anybody remember The Wizard?
Yeah, but there's also, The Blind Kid in 4C. Pretty Bird! Yes, Pretty Bird! Yeah, but I take you the stack of nudie mags and Rusty Lerner to bop his baloney, and I give you the Rhode Island slut. Rhode Island slut.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, damn, that chick had what? AIDS?
Yeah, AIDS?
Janae, you have AIDS.
Janae's got the AIDS. She died on a Thursday.
I was sad. No, you were talking about flaming car stories. I have two. One funny, one really sad. So about two or three months ago, I'm coming back from somewhere on the highway, and the opposite direction is just, like, locked. I'm like, what the fuck is it here? There's this flaming car, and it was, like, on the median right where we had to drive, and you could just, like, feel the heat. And I was like, motherfucker, this is scary. But the worst one ever, I was going to Michigan in 2012, and there was, like, huge traffic, and they were just starting to let us through, so I avoided waiting in line, and there was just all these flaming cars and all these dead bodies on the side of the road.
Damn!
Hey, yeah, it's this guy from Miami Vice.
Yes, thank you, Izzy!
Yep. To me, he's my advice. He's the CI that I always like pick up all the time.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
The Nook Man.
The Nook. Oh my god, dude, that guy is always cracked out.
He died of AIDS for real. That's not a joke.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with you. He died of AIDS.
Oh jeez.
It's an epidemic, people.
Yeah,
because no, like, and seeing him with his like really weird like suits and glasses and with that Spanish accent is always gonna stick with me now.
You know, in the first episode, he's the crossdresser that tries to kill Crockett and Tubbs, right?
Oh yeah.
Kills him in the dress. I loved. We should do a couple episodes. Just well, everybody can join, obviously, but you and I should pick a couple of our favorites and just do something for Patreon.
Oh yeah, dude, like, I'm down. I'm down with
Nick
that.
And Jeff do Miami Vice.
Oh, I need to send you the recipe for Miami Vice popsicles.
Ooh.
That I think Tipsy Bartender made. Like they're just basically two drinks you make. You freeze them in the popsicle thing, and like you have them. You know, it's awesome.
Hey, bartender. I bought a Casio watch for my Axel Foley costume that I never got to wear. Thanks, Phil.
Well, hey, man, hey.
Because Phil wanted to play Red Dead Redemption instead of going to the Halloween party.
Asshole.
Because I wanted to drink. It was a bar crawl. You can't sleep at a bar. I went to that Halloween party. I don't ever take the guys down here to this one group of friends I hang out with because there's a lot of fun stuff with women that goes on, and I really don't want to take Phil and Dan to that.
No, understood, man, understood.
True.
Not tough.
Well, then you have. We haven't.
Yeah.
Because because Jeff has referred to them as the other friends. You said the names. We haven't.
Yep.
Episode 150 hasn't happened yet. Once that happens, they're no longer named.
Well, the problem here is I've already wrote like 58 check marks next to Trent's name. So
50. Wow, dude, he's gonna owe a lot of shots.
You can still charge him.
Yeah,
he's got it. Just trade me. Okay. Trade me your Millennium Falcon, Trent. We're all good.
Yeah. You only need one. Listen. You only need one kidney, man. Okay. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah. You only live twice, Mr. Bond.
True.
You only live twice, Mr. Dason. I feel bad for John Candy right now, because especially when you watch this and you don't know about his wife, it comes off as funny. And then when he goes back to the train station, you're just like, oh, God. It's probably the biggest gut punch in any John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it feels like they're playing like 16 Candles music right now with this scene. It's really odd.
They probably are.
Molly Ringwald is celebrating her 16th birthday.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, that's the impression I'm getting right now with the music. It's like, this is weird.
Jake showed up to her party.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I love to read those stupid online articles where, like, that movie's terrible because it's got this and that in it. I'm like, it was 1984. Shut the fuck up and just don't watch it.
That's what, like,
a happier time.
Well, even with Animal House, people are like, oh, you know, it's perpetuating, like, frats and rape culture. It's like, it's a movie. Get over
it. 40 years ago.
Yeah, even, I'm sure they're doing the same thing with Porky's as well. Like, calm down. Jeez, man, just let it, you know, let it go.
This is what I would do if I was stuck in a hotel that I
didn't really dude. Wait.
Yeah,
so this is the prequel to Cool Runnings. I was like, we can coach a bobsledding team?
There we go, Jeff. That's what we should do. Like, we should recut this movie with an epilogue.
Del Griffith may have lost his family, but his legacy will live on in Cool Runnings.
Yep. Del Griffith will return in Cool Runnings.
Honestly, the sad part about a lot of this is today, people don't care about these celebrities. You got people like us that watch their movies and are like, man, these were great. But then nowadays, people are like, oh, it's that movie that was on TV. They don't really care about.
Well, because, like, well, I mean, and we also grew up in the era where, like, you know, we'd have the holiday, you'd have the networks that would do the holiday streams. I mean, you and me, Jeff, you remember the James Bond stuff during Thanksgiving all the time. They would do, like, I don't know, a week run of it.
The 007 you know. Days of Christmas were my
there
favorite.
There you go. Yeah. 007 Days of Christmas. It was always around the holidays they would do it. And then I don't know what they would do for Thanksgiving. I think they would just show Christmas movies or whatever.
Well, Trent. All I was going to say is when the 007 Days of Christmas would come on, I would actually pull out my DVDs and watch the movie. And then when the time, like when I had watched my movie, I'd go back and see what they were going to put on, watch the end of theirs, and then put mine on to match up with the other one. It was so dumb. But I used to do, I was like, what, 14?
Well, I mean, you wanted to watch, I guess. I mean, well, no. Well, do they cut things out of the movies on TV? Or
no,
they
make just commercial breaks. Commercial breaks.
Okay, yeah. Because I was about to say, I was like, all the movies are like PG-13 and they can show them on TV anyway, so it should be fine.
They're just formatted for time.
They're all PG. Yeah,
that's true.
Up until License to Kill is the first PG-13.
Ah, gotcha.
Even that was cut and censored on home video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. They've put Benicio del Toro in a cocaine grinder, and it's way violent. Oh, it's you can get that in the UK release.
Ooh.
In high definition.
Leave
Isn't
quickly.
Somebody famous the cop in this movie?
I have no idea. I'd have to when it gets set up. This music right here is odd too. What the hell?
Yeah, this is like a shitty version of that song by Mark Knopfler. That here comes Johnny. That's what that reminds me of.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
Yeah, this music leaves you in some dire straits, right, Jeff?
Oh god, fuck off.
He's using the bicycle hand signals.
Oh, Michael McKean. Oh. Okay, duh. I know who Michael McKean is. Michael McKean. I was just like, isn't somebody famous playing the cop? Have you ever seen the episode of King of the Hill where they sing this song? Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Probably.
They go to Branson.
Oh, God, Michael McKean.
Where Branson go?
He's been in some shit.
Dude, he was in Airheads. He was in Spinal Tap. Laverne and Shirley. I think he's married to somebody.
He was also in Clue.
Yeah. He was a Colonel Mustard. He was a whatchamacallit. Not Professor Plum either. He was the other guy.
No. Oh, well, he was also in Small Soldiers and a bunch of other stuff, man.
He was in Small Soldiers?
Yep.
What was his name?
Hold on, I'll look it up.
No, that was Dennis Leary. That's the only reason I'm like, who the fuck was Michael McKean in Small Soldiers?
I will try to find it right now.
I think he was also in Airhead, or not Airheads, Coneheads.
Let's see, where the hell? Let's see. Christina Ricci was in there. She was the Gwenny doll, too.
Oh, for the voice? Was Michael McKean a voice?
Yeah, he was a voice.
Who was he the voice of?
Insaniac something?
Oh, Insaniac. Okay, yeah, he was that purple Gorgonite. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
I hated the Gorgonites. All Gorgonite scum must die. Commander Elite Fallen. Fucking John.
Oh, good. Well, also... No, oh god, I used to get pulled over a lot, so I learned to make the cops laugh, and I've done that like three or four times, and every time I've done it, they've given me a warning. It's like, all right, good, I can deal with this. But no, the first time I ever got a ticket, I think I was 14 over or 15 over, yeah.
I do think they paced this part of the movie just right, because by the time you're ready for him to go home, it's like, oh, the movie's over now. This reminds me of Home Alone. Remember how they ride in the back of the truck?
Ah, they do, yeah. They do.
Riding in a U-Haul.
You know what the funny part is? All the John Hughes movies seem to recycle shit. Like, he did the 80s sex comedies, and now he does the I'll Be Home for the Holidays comedies, and then he died. John Hughes movies were fucking great. I'm not.
Oh yeah, dude.
I love Home Alone. That's one of my Christmas traditions now as an adult.
Oh, watching Home Alone?
Yeah, because as a kid, I liked it and I'd watch it all year long. Now I'm like, man, I miss the 90s.
I think my mom got me a sweater saying that, you know, the filthy animal thing on it. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal is what it was.
I love that you missed the early 90s and you weren't even fucking alive.
I know.
Yeah. What a. He's a millennial.
It was the death of the 80s. That's why it was still somewhat.
Yeah, and grunge rock was a thing, and nobody really liked it, but you know they accepted it. So, and then nobody knew what the hell they were doing until like you know the early 2000s.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're in the future. Okay, shit. All right, we'll just deal with stuff now. Because, like, I think what is it, after 93, everybody's like, all right, the millennium's coming up real fast. We might all die. Crap.
Yeah, everything was, like, something 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. South Park made fun of that, too, because, like, that season of South Park, every episode had, like, 2000 in the title for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I John Candy is so good in this. Maybe this isn't my favorite John Candy movie, but he really elevates his, yeah. And like I said, the nicest thing is if on the first viewing you don't get these things. You think he's just sad because his friend that he made is going to be gone, and then it's like, well, no, he has no family.
That is one hell of a trench coat that Steve Martin has.
Let's get some.
He's swimming in it. I think John Candy had it before him.
It's actually John's. Probably because he's just thinking to himself, I'm finally home for the holidays.
Yeah, he's almost there.
For it's the holidays, feeling. You can't beat home, sweet home. I didn't know who sang that. Well, now I do. And no one's half the battle.
The more you know. Dun, 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 dun.
Now this sounds like I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Which I have a new appreciation of that song because of Miami Vice.
Fuck yeah, I used to hate that song, but now I like
it. Oh, me too, dude, me too. But then, like, the Proud episode, they have that whole, like, that whole thing where they're, like, getting ready to go kill that one drug dealer. I was like,
fuck. Oh, Calderon?
Yeah, dude. And, like, you know, the beginning of it where they're, like, driving down the road and they have all these, nice, like, really awesome car shots. And he makes that phone call to, I think, his girlfriend at the time. Or sorry, his wife.
His wife. That was my favorite part of that whole thing, because she's like, was it ever real? Oh, it was real.
Yeah, and then they continue the song, and it's them, you know, getting there. And I was like, fuck, I love this song.
Nick can feel it coming.
Yeah, I like you too, Dill.
He's just putting it together now. This kind of reminds me of Zombieland when, you know, they discovered that Woody Harrelson, you know, was not talking about his dog.
Yeah. That's an excellent point.
Yeah. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
You mean he wasn't?
Huh. Now, he was talking about Julia, what's her face? Juliette Lewis.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, I was right. I don't like her.
No.
I just don't think she's very funny.
Wait, no. Was she... Wait, hold on. Juliette Lewis.
True. She's also in Natural Born Killers.
Yep.
Oh, God, fuck her. She is.
There was a rumor going around about her in a porn once. I'll tell you about it off air.
It's one I don't want to watch.
No, she's...
My favorite thing she's in is Old School. I'm here for the gangbang. Now, Mitch!
Yeah. Yeah, that part's funny.
Her and I don't know, the other chick are, like, they look the same. They kind of look like white trash, and I just don't like them.
Fair enough.
Man, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. God damn, 8 years. That really hits you in the feels. You're like, fuck.
Talk about a kick in the dick.
People are like, guys, this is the serious moment. I know, we're really seriously sad for John Candy's character.
Yeah, like, getting kicked in the dick is seriously not fun.
Wow. Sonaku.
It takes all the wind out of your sails, just like this moment in the movie does.
Yeah, kind of hits you in the feels. Every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you.
Yep.
I hate this song.
Which is...
Shit, you missed the early 90s so much, you know better than me.
Oh, God.
We're going to have a thing, Jeff. If anytime we make a fun movie type thing and one of the main characters leaves, we have to play that song.
Every time you go. Can we use the version from this movie, though? So it's like, what is this song?
Oh, yeah. It's just instrumental. Sure.
Well, no, then it cuts into the main chorus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it'll be every time we use it, it'll be a different cover version.
Oh no! I'm not gonna make that joke.
Goonies.
No.
Goonies are
the grandfather looks like somebody very 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 similar. Are we very familiar?
Stan Lee.
Yep.
Well, that's not a mean joke. It's just an observation. Oh, dude,
Nick,
we all love Stan Lee, but that's not like an offensive topic. Oh,
right. Remember, Nick, we don't grave stand.
Yeah.
Unless it's Chester Butterfield.
Oh, Chaz Bonertown?
Yep.
One of our best episodes?
Yeah. It's one of the funnest times I had on the fan cast, and it took Brian Lape an hour and a half to realize the joke from the previous night's episode. Fucking idiot.
Oh, here it comes.
Every time you go. There we go.
Away.
The sequel, he's actually Del Griffith sleeping with Steve Martin's wife.
Yeah. Plot twist.
She was a chubby chaser all along.
Oh, my God.
Mind blown.
It's John Candy blown as well.
Ooh. Get it, Del. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 2. Impossible. Devil's Triangle.
Written, produced, and... Are you really?
Are you really? What the hell?
like John Candy as much as the next guy, but I'm not taking day 1232 shots for John Candy. Well, you just can't.
Hey, it only takes one, okay, buddy? It only takes one, all right?
Now, can you believe that the guy that edited this movie edited Star Wars and Creepshow?
Jeez.
Yep, Paul Hirsch, Richard Chu, and Marshall Lucas.
Jeez, it's going to be a weird career. Just like, all right, it I edited these things. Career. All right.
Neil and Dell will return in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles
2. Here comes hip-hop song.
Devil's Triangle.
I actually would love to see a sequel. What is it? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 2, All Saints Day?
Obsessed. Planes, Trails, and Automobiles 2, the Bermuda Triangle.
Edie McClurg. Well, I really wish there could have been a sequel to this movie. People were like, oh, sequels suck. Yeah, they do for the most part, but...
Not when they're done right.
Yeah. Can we call it Planes, Bikes? Trains, and Automobiles 2, Dell Finds a Way?
Dell Finds a Way?
I'm pretty sure we've already established that there was a sequel to this movie. It's Cool Runnings.
Oh, yeah. Murder, She Wrote. Oh, God.
Cassettes and compact discs.
For Christmas.
We're getting cassettes of the soundtrack?
Yeah, I should just put the money up for it. Talk about a shitty Christmas present.
I was about to say, I was like, I'll just set mine on fire.
Yeah, I'll just be like, actually... wow, thanks, Jeff. All right.
Anyway. Yeah, you better be thankful.
That'll be the end of that.
Hey, you love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
It was the thought that counted, Chet.
He misses the 80s as much as he misses the early 90s.
You miss shit you weren't even alive for. Here you go. Here's a format you probably never used.
Goddamn millennials.
You yearn for the days where you rewound your tapes.
with a pencil.
Hey, I've done that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually happened.
No, same here.
Oh, God.
We're old.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff, I just got my Beverly Hills Cop vinyls.
Ooh, aren't you excited that you'll never listen to them?
I'm very excited. Sure.
I'm not opening mine. I don't know who that is. God, this fucking song again?
What the hell?
This is like the worst music I've ever heard in my life.
What child made this song?
And now we're back to the credits.
This is weird because they have all the celebrities at the end of the credits almost. That's odd.
Yeah, I thought his wife was played by Andy McDowell. I was wrong.
No, that's not her. Andy McDowell's got dark hair.
Women can dye their hair color.
Yeah, but not in the 80s.
Kendo. Well, people can do whatever they want, dude. Drapes, calm down. Kendo,
what is the explanation?
There was a sale that day?
There was a sale that day. What, at Sears?
Yeah.
Hey, they were still existing back then. Trent, do you miss Sears? Do you miss radio? Are you nostalgic for Radio Shack?
Oh, God. Wait, no, Jeff, I... Oh God! I went to the mall in Knoxville here because I'm in Tennessee now. There's a Radio Shack like little store there. I don't know why, but they're selling like the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, God. There's a post credit sequence?
Oh shit! There is.
Trent's got a Got a soft spot for Memories of Circuit City.
What is he doing?
I just love that you've never known this, Trent.
Oh, God. That was awesome.
The MC, forget the MCU. That was the greatest. And there's still more? Oh, no, wait. That's just the audio plan from the beginning. Okay, folks. Well, happy Thanksgiving. We hope you enjoyed your time with us here on World Class Bullshitters for our Planes, Trains, and Automobiles commentary. I will be back, what is today, Thursday, by the time you're hearing this. So, if you listen to this on Thursday, catch me in the morning for our Black Friday stream. And if you don't have time for that, well, I'll be back on Monday for Good Morning Pop Culture.